Madam Speaker, I respect myself to speak after the Honourable Member, Mr. Dell. And so I am taken aback by his absence. Probably the Honourable Member may be sick. I know he has yellow blood in his bloodstream, so he may be suffering from jaundice. And therefore, he may have gone for a blood transfusion to get red color blood. I don't know, Madam Speaker. However, Madam Speaker, I will keep with the procedures of this House and I will make my presentation. First of all, Madam Speaker, I want to thank my people of Fort Ajax and Soufre and their environs for their support and for putting me in this honorable House today to speak on their behalf. Madam Speaker, Soufre is a special place, the envy of everybody else in the world. And therefore, this constituency needs special representation. And I seek and beg for the cooperation of the members opposite to provide Soufre with what Soufre needs. And today, I will make that presentation on their behalf. But before I even delve into my contribution, Madam Speaker, I want to say to the Honourable Member for Beaufort North, that we are very appreciative of your contribution. I think you have done the women in this country proud, you've done them well. And I want to go further and say, Madam Speaker, I can see her as an ideal candidate for a minister to handle fisheries. Madam Speaker, however, there are a few points you raised in her contribution to which I may disagree. And I just want to highlight a few of them. Madam Speaker, but before I go to her, let me make a reference to some points raised by the member for Denry, not Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, if in case this government is being advised on its economic policy by the member from Mikud for Denry North, then Krapo spoke our pipe. Madam Speaker, I say no more on that. Madam Speaker, the member for Mikud North said that we are not prepared for universal secondary education. I beg to differ with her. Because education, as she rightly said, is very important. And the starting point of any augmentation in the process of education must not be protracted. We must, as early as possible, take the initiative, build on them. USC has mistakes, and we agreed. My honorable member from Kashi South said so, and I am repeating it. But then what we expect is to find out what are the mistakes through the special commission that was put in place. They would have been highlighted and consultation and then built upon and improved, because we cannot stagnate the development of our education system in St. Lucia. I quite agree with the member from Mikud North. Today, there are more children on the streets of all of the towns and villages not going to school. Not going to school, Madam Speaker, because of problems that emerge out of the evolution of the USC. This government has the responsibility to address them. That is your responsibility. Because when we initiated it, we knew there would have been problems. And you have a mandate, a responsibility to find the problems, identify the problems, and address them. Because the only way we can augment our level of education is by giving people access to the highest level of education that the country, the resources of the country can support. Madam Speaker, the honourable member referred to $1 million available to members on this side. Madam Speaker, I'm not aware of that. Tell me where it is. Tell me where it is. Just tell me and I'll go for it. But I'm a principled person. I obey the laws of this land. There is a Finance Act. And up to $1 million to go in the hands or access to ministers and public servants is not my style. Anybody who has $1 million to give to SUFRE, put it in poverty reduction, town council, PRS, NCA, in agencies, and then tell me, and I'll give you the projects. But I will not go to any foreign minister and accept money directly or personally. It is against the statutes of this country. So if ministers on the other side are getting $1 million, as I have heard the rumors around, then I question the authenticity or the efficacy of such actions by those ministers. I'm not saying this is true, I don't know. But the honorable member brought it to light, and I just feel I should rebut it. Madam Speaker, the honorable member spoke about Ansari. I want to remind her that last year, the Ansari complex was also in the budget, and nothing was done. Good? Now I begin my contribution, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I cannot pledge my support to this budget. Cannot. Because my understanding of a budget is that it is a management tool. You look at your resources, what you're going to collect, and you match them against what you want to expend. What has been presented is a marketing tool for the government. Madam Speaker, what I heard in the budget is a litany of unrealistic expectations. Madam Speaker, if you ask me to describe the budget, I will say it is a pregnant budget. It is filled with air. Filled with air. And nothing to deliver. There'll be a miscarriage. Madam Speaker, budget time. In your go budget, may budget have hidden. Parity and design, because nothing in that budget is achievable within a year, is realistic, and address the issues of young people, elderly people, deprived people, nothing in there. So, Madam Speaker, when you look at the members on the other side, you are ready by half. Nice. But the poor people on the streets of Soufre Castries before Denri Miku, there is nothing in there for them. And because of this, Madam Speaker, this government is continuing to inflict despair and despondency on the people of this country. There is no realistic hope for the people, especially the young people, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the policies and programs articulated in that budget reminds me of somebody who has a serious deficiency in understanding real life issues. Madam Speaker, this budget is dressing up a fiscal disaster and to make it look as though there is competence. It is an opportunity for the members on the other side to win the sympathy of people, so that people can tell us when we begin to argue on the issues affecting the management and the governance of the country, for people to begin to say, give them a chance, buy your chance, nobody buy your chance for to arrive. That is all marketing. Madam Speaker, my honorable Prime Minister had a perfect opportunity today to speak to the conscience of St. Lucians and tell them, look, things are hard. We all have to bite the bullet together. Let us be prudent Let us be understanding. Give them the inspiration to understand and ride this stormy weather, the weather that we are now experiencing, Madam Speaker. But that was not done. That was not done, Madam Speaker. As the member from Gifford North said, bluff. I hope this is parliamentary language, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the budget is littered with extravagant and expansive and unrealistic programs. Seven hotels, Madam Speaker. If this government builds seven hotels or commence seven hotels in St. Lucia in this coming year, I am going on the other side. Even if I commit suicide afterwards, seven hotels. Madam Speaker, and the honourable member for me could not spoke about pollution and filtration. Let me tell you where the hotels are going to be built. Because invariably, when you build hotels, there will be some form of environmental degradation and pollution. And the places most likely to be affected is your constituency, my honourable member from Miku North. From Bay in Miku, to Marseille River in Marseille Resort in Miku, Safi was on the course of its garden, seven hotels there, Madam Speaker, in 1 year. Marketing ploy does not address the issues. I agree you have to give people hope, but give them realistic hope, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, seven hotels, two airports we have, one refinery, one new dam, two ports. Madam Speaker, who are we fooling? Madam Speaker, this budget should have been something short, concise and precise to address the price increases in this country. Simple. Because all of that big elaboration will not take us anywhere. Because who feels it knows it. Madam Speaker, when public servants say all of these massive projects coming on stream, you expect them to want to accept. You expect public servants to accept a pay increase that is not more than the rate of inflation? Do you expect that? We have to deal. This government has to deal. Not only the government, all of us have to deal with the expected demands from public servants in this country because of what is going on in the country. So when we begin to create all kinds of cloudy expectations, you expect them to face the reality and want to bite the bullet together? Madam Speaker, this government is in crisis, you know. Serious crisis, Madam Speaker. Serious crisis, Madam Speaker. There is no leadership. Leadership is clueless as to what is happening in this country. Assertiveness is conspicuously absent, Madam Speaker. Decision making, Madam Speaker, is always a rule. As the member for Labri said once previously in this house, in this government, you have key players and then you have role players. All of the key players are on the outside. People never voted for them. And all the role players are inside there. And today, when we want to help them speak to the issues so we can rebut, they are not there. They are not there. And is that why you're telling me that there is a deficiency on the other side? I don't know. Madam Speaker, if I have a massive tanker to bring into port on a stormy day, turbulent weather, I want to know at the helm, I have a captain that knows what he's doing. The captain must know what he is doing, Madam Speaker. And especially, Madam Speaker, the situation is compounded. If the captain does not know what he is doing, and you have a merciless group ready to decapitate each other, Madam Speaker, there must be a crash landing. And this is what I see happening to Sahelen. This is what I see happening to St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, what is happening in this cabinet, jostling for position, tribalism, fighting against each other. The members opposite have failed to accept what the member for Mikunov said, that you came in politics to serve people, not to massage your ego or for your self-advancement. You came to serve. Everybody wants ministry. Those who don't have ministry quarreling, they withdrawing. Some say they are supporting the budget. Some say they are going next time. Chaos! Chaos! How can a government function when there is that pillar of divider right through? Some members are not even speaking to each other, Madam Speaker. That's how bad it is. And you want to talk about bringing the people, bringing the country forward? To bring this country forward, we have to do it together. You have to consult your position. As the member for Kashmir South said, we have to consult each other. Madam Speaker, we on this side, our conscience is for the people. We are not greedy for power because you have been patient. You have been very patient. And we have been keeping the people cool, lowering the temperature at every opportunity, acceding the request of the people, give you a chance. And we have given you 16 months. 16 months. And this government has not done anything of any substance to uplift, to drive this country forward. All we hear is rural and rural and accusation, and every news item is some minister do this. Every weekend is a new rural and the country cannot go forward. I plead and I beg to stop the soap opera. Not beg for the gouvernement government. And in many pays, you have a sum, last for me, I'm going to go to the government. We're tarnishing our international image. Madam Speaker, as a consequence of what is happening in the cabinet and in the government, this is what we are getting. Complaining. Madam Speaker, contractors are complaining. Most of our contractors complaining because they're greedy. They want one contract today and next one tomorrow. Taxi drivers are complaining. Banana farmers are complaining. Bus drivers are complaining. Civil servants are complaining. Daily paid workers are complaining. Parents are complaining. Madam Speaker, even the selfish businessmen who pump the money into the campaign complaining too. The oligarchy on the outside. The outside cabinet. You know there are two cabinets in this country. The key cabinet and the real playing cabinet. They are complaining too, Madam Speaker.
And remember, do not forget that the appropriation bill debate, as for the standing orders, is supposed to be confined to the financial and economic state of the island and the general policy outlined by the bill. I allow the digression, but you need to come back to the appropriation bill as presented by the Prime Minister and the general policy issues of the government as enunciated by the bill.
Madam Speaker, whereas I take your advice, Madam Speaker, I wasn't expecting myself the manner I should, and I'm sorry about that. But Madam Speaker, I would understand and appreciate that when I talk of high prices, I'm talking about the budget. Because the budget speaks to prices, it speaks to cash flow in the economy, it speaks to revenue collection, it speaks to disbursement of funds, it speaks to a number of issues which have direct implications to prices of things and consumer complaints and so on, Madam Speaker. So if I have digressed, accept my apology, Madam Speaker. I didn't do this intention, I thought I was on the right track. Very sorry, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, and that is why I have to continue. Madam Speaker, this budget is on a high. The budget is on a high, Madam Speaker. Everything on the budget reflects something high. It reflects high debt. And I heard some minister during the lunch break, Madam Speaker, talking about, I think it was the minister, member from Danish South, talking about debt. Talking and accusing the previous administration of high debt. And I reminded him, at the end of this debate, this government is going to borrow $120 million in debt. So when you're talking about the previous administration was the ambassador for high debt. We are experiencing it, Madam Speaker. So this budget is about high debt. It's about high taxes. the increase in the price of petrol has a tax in it. And the most, madam, I was going to say the most foolish thing, I want to say, madam, Peter. Let me get that word, somebody give me a word. Look, the most naive thing for one to do is to look at diesel, which we use in commerce, in construction, in farming, and to increase it by $3 and over $4, madam. There's a tax there of almost $3. So this budget speaks to high prices, high taxes, high interest rates, high inflation, and I'll give you the figures in a while, Madam Speaker, and high cost of living. All of these are associated with the budget, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, this is a government that is on a high. I don't know what they take or what they smoke, but they're on a high. Everything is high, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, all of these facts are silent in the budget. They are silent, but they do have a significant direct outflow from the budget. But Madam Speaker, let me say this. What I know, and what everyone else should know, Madam Speaker, is that the government that has placed us in this situation cannot be the government that will take us out. Gouvernement qui ne fait nous en situation ça, c'est pas même gouvernement ça qui va jamais s'attirer nous. Because they're like quicksand. The more we wiggle, the deeper we sink. And we are sinking to high prices and high debt and all the things that I spoke about. This country needs a new direction, Madam Speaker. Why am I saying that, Madam Speaker? Here are the facts. And I got them, Madam Speaker, from, if they are not documents of the House, may I just ask for them to be, Madam Speaker, Social and Economic Review, 2007, the same, 2006. So all the figures I'm going to quote there, Madam Speaker, they were taken from these two documents. And if they are not documents of the House, may I just do so right now, Madam Speaker.
They are documents of the House. They would have been made to at the previous budget. So you could proceed.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, for your well advice. Madam Speaker, let's look at economic growth. Yes, economic growth, Madam Speaker. In 2005, the country recorded an economic growth of 4.6%. In 2006, it improved to 5.4%. In 2007, it went down, contracted to 0.5%. And I heard the Minister for Mikunov talking about the government is doing well and things are going. Madam Speaker, the statistics, I didn't make them, I didn't manufacture them. They are there, they were their own document, said so, not me. Madam Speaker, agriculture. I heard the member opposite, Madam Speaker, this morning, speaking about growth in agriculture and bananas. Madam Speaker, let me give you the statistics. Their own statistics. In 2006, there was a growth of 9.8% in agriculture, in real terms. 2006. Madam Speaker, all the statistics I'm going to reference right now, they are coming from what I have done. I have taken all of them and synopsized them into one table.
So they are coming from either of these documents?
Yes, Madam Speaker. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker, for your patience with me. Madam Speaker, I was saying, agriculture in 2006, as per the Economic Review of 2006, grew by 9.8%. In 2007, it only grew by 0.8%. And listen to that, and I'm quoting from the... Just to put the record straight, Madam Speaker, I am quoting from page 27 of the Social and Economic Review for 2010. And I am reading, Madam Speaker, I quote, following a partial recovery, and I'm talking about on the bananas, following a partial recovery in 2006, St. Lucia banana exports to the UK contracted contracted by 10.8% to 30,318. You did say that, but you didn't say contracted. It contracted, Madam Speaker. Despite the continued strength of the pound sterling, this output performance resulted in a 9.2% decline in banana earnings to $43.7 million. These are the facts in relation to bananas in this country, Madam Speaker. And that is what I was trying to do this morning, Madam Speaker, to bring to your attention when I realized that the minister was, the honorable member was missing in the house. Madam Speaker, in tourism, from the same document again, but the same, in 2006, this government was excoriated, the member for Catholic East, because there was a decline in tourism by 2.7%. I remember that debate, Madam Speaker. But what are the statistics of today? Tourism declined by 7.4%. Madam Speaker, and we have a Minister of Tourism, the prime sector of the economy, who is not available in this house to respond to these issues. And that is not before us, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Tourism has been given so much money. The minister was given $50 million, Madam Speaker. $50 million, Madam Speaker. And it was treated as a capital expenditure. Capital revenue expenditure, yes, in the budget. And even in this one, he has another $50 million, Madam Speaker. But what do we see? Wastage in the Ministry of Tourism. The minister has more flying miles than any pilot of British Airways. He spends more time on the plane than he spends on his office. Madam Speaker, these are the issues we have to speak to. We have to speak to these issues, Madam Speaker. Because we can see the decline, we can see the crisis. This is a government in crisis, Madam Speaker. It's in crisis. And the statistics I'm giving you, I'm going to construction. Construction, Madam Speaker. Everything is declining. Put back, I can approach this one. In manufacturing, Madam Speaker, in 2006, an increase by 6.7%. 6.7. In 2007, increased by 1.7. Contraction again. Madam Speaker, in balance of payments, the situation is still dismal. In 2006, it was 18.1% of GDP. This year, it is 47.4% of GDP. Inflation, Madam Speaker, 3.9% in 2005. Inflation, so it has to go down, it doesn't go up, it has to go down. In 2006, inflation was 2.3%. In 2007, when they took over, inflation went back to 2.8%. And that was before the increase in oil at the pump. Before the increase. Unemployment. When this government took over, it was 14.6%, Madam Speaker. As we speak, it is 14.6%. A total of 12,440 persons are out of work. And they came and they said they're going to create 7,000 jobs. That's what they said they would do, Madam Speaker. Marketing. It's one thing. Let what Sitai Kailan, Ikapale, your language. They lie a flapper, Ikapale, on lot language. You told the people you are coming to solve the problems which the Labour Party was creating. You came to solve them. Based on the figures I have given, are you solving that problem? You have to return to the people and tell them we are sorry. We thought we could have done it better, but we are dismally dismal in what we are doing. Madam Speaker, I feel a little bit of madness, Madam Speaker, something that defies logic. I don't know if some members have some serious problems in terms of analysis and understanding, but when the Prime Minister reads a budget that suggests that in these economic conditions, there will be an increase of 7% growth in the period 2007-2008. Who are we fooling? An increase The period 2008-2009, the projection by this government is an increase in economic growth of 7%, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, if you have to, you are coming from almost from negative growth, and you are jumping straight into 7 percentage points growth. Madam Speaker, to come from negative growth to positive growth, you must stabilize the economy first. You first have to stabilize the economy. Where are the mechanisms and the instruments and the policies and programs to stabilize the growth in the economy? Where are they, Madam Speaker? I didn't see them in the budget presentation. I read every page. I read even the back of every page. I didn't see anything, although they all are blank. I didn't see anything that would speak to that, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, so what is really happening in this country? What is happening to this budget? I said the Prime Minister missed a perfect opportunity to be humble and tell the people that I wed and more day pragmatism and firm than to give them falsehood. Madam Speaker, my the honourable member for Patrick South asked a question, and I want to ask it too. Has this government any instrument, any mechanism to measure the rate of implementation of the programs? And I have that question for a reason, Madam Speaker. I have that question because most of the big programs were in last year's budget. And if only they had done that simple analysis, they would have realized that they could not implement what they said a year ago. And it wasn't making any sense to bring them back here in this budget, realizing that they were not achievable, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I want to speak on the issue of universal health care, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, earlier on somebody, a member on this, on my side said, on this side of the house said that this government doesn't have a social conscience. And I share that assessment, Madam Speaker. Because do not tell me, Madam Speaker, that a program as important as universal health care, a program that targets poor people, elderly people, people who suffer from diabetes and hypertension, to give them free drugs and free medical care at the hospital, all the health centers, free visite, free insulin, poor people. This government has remained silent on that program, Madam Speaker. And this is a government that says they're concerned about poor people in this country. You're concerned about poor... Madam Speaker, the mere fact that the Ministry of Health is like a disaster zone. Every day in the Ministry of Health is some problem. Of course, facilitated by my honorable member. Madam Speaker, in that ministry, we have had 3 permanent secretaries in 16 months. 3 ministers in 16 months. Madam Speaker, what kind of contempt is that for our health care in the country? Madam Speaker, how can the policies and programs be implemented with any kind of consistency if you keep changing people around? Today, worker morale, worker productivity in the ministry is low. And I want to call on those workers and tell them, do not give up. Do not give up. Because we need you to take care of our poor people and to take care of ourselves. Many of us have many complications, Madam Speaker. We need the healthcare system to win our confidence that when we go there, we are going to be treated, and to make it worse. The dream of the country. The dream of the country. After we remained in old Victoria, for years, people had hope in a new hospital. And I'm hearing that these folks are just shattered and just pushed aside without proper consultation and proper discussion with key professionals who can advise this government, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, if you listen to the U.S. election debate on the Democratic side, you will hear both candidates, Clinton and Obama, both talking about the central theme is healthcare. The same concept, universal healthcare. So we are even ahead of America. This Labour Party government was ahead of America in terms of its conceptualization of a program to benefit everybody and not just those who have money. Mr. Speaker, I was about to say, Madam Speaker, when I realized that you were differently attired. Madam Speaker, the stem. My apology, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the STEP program. I believe the removal of the STEP program disempowered people in this country, made people poorer. Because what the STEP program was doing, at critical times of the year, you were giving money, you were giving people jobs for which they were getting money, and that money would support them to buy school books, and during Christmas time, they would get a little something to go and buy their groceries for Christmas. These are serious economic implications. This little $400 they were getting multiplies in that economy. Multiplies. When you remove it, you withdraw all the money that the people were receiving from the circular flow of income in the economy. You remove it. And anytime you withdraw money from the circular flow, you are contracting the economy. And that is what is happening. That economics, I don't know. Somebody said earlier that he's a professor in economics. I'm not one. But I can tell any student listening to this budget debate that whatever I say there, in any common entrance or CXC question, answer what I am saying there. Put what I am saying there as a correct answer and you will be right. Whatever was said earlier, if you put it, you will be wrong. Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, I remember when the poverty survey came out, or this government, the Labour Party government was excoriated to the ground. Poverty! But don't you realize these social programs, poverty reduction, STEP, the people working on the roadside, these little programs, were the programs targeted at alleviating poverty in this country, and you remove it? Madam Speaker, I want to understand, or I want to tell myself that the members opposite just have a simple lack of understanding. They are not bad, but they just have a simple lack of understanding, and there is a certain element of stubbornness in terms of responding to the call to bring the STEP program so that people can be relieved of the economic plight. There's nothing, there's no shame in that. Governments make mistakes, they correct the mistake. And so the removal of the STEP program was a big mistake. And I urge this government to act properly and have the courage, the fortitude to do it. And do it for us, please, Madam Speaker. Next time when I come here, I will speak of you in glorious terms. The situation for the elderly people, Madam Speaker. Are you still going to leave these people languishing on a stipend, a little allowance, which we increased from $20? It used to be $20 for so many years. We increased it with an increase in prices. I read the budget. Nothing was said to increase the price of these people by increasing the little thing that the government gives them at the end of the month. Madam, Mr. Speaker, I don't know if it happens to anybody else, but in our offices, we are inundated every minute. We are crowded with people coming to us and telling you, Mr. So-and-so, by weather, by no until I'll be, la jambe pour vini, save a like the lamoute, by no buy. And there is nothing in the budget to address. And that is why we are saying that this government does not have a social conscience. And I will say it over and over again, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I heard the Prime Minister address, what do you call the thing? A puente? Mr. Speaker, you tell me, what do you call the thing? Puente? I don't know if the Prime Minister is a Chilean, but this program came from Chile. And whereas the program speaks to the poverty and the helping of the elderly, there is absolutely no substantial allocation in the budget to fund that program. Nothing substantial. And I don't understand the program fully, and probably the Prime Minister in his rebuttal will explain to me. Madam Speaker, everything the Labour Party started, this government tries to destroy. Madam Speaker, I am reminded of little boys who have nice toys and they are inquiring minds, so they break them down, but they never fix them. And this is what is happening. Everything is being broken down. STEP broke down. Poverty reduction broke down. All the social programs broke down, Mr. Speaker. And the government cannot fix them, cannot replace them with anything else. And what is the consequence? People on the streets. Everybody, somebody is diving into poverty. Madam Speaker, I am in poverty right now. All of us in this house. And then the Prime Minister tells us in his budget speech that he's going to give us a ticket to paradise. A ticket, what is the paradise? Munkasu from paradise, huh? Madam Speaker, let me speak to NIC, Mr. Speaker, to NIC. Another program that they want to dismantle. The National Insurance Program, Corporation, and a pronouncement in the budget with respect to the sale of cul-de-sac lands. Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, sorry. I understand in the budget, Mr. Speaker, that the purchase price of the land is only $10 million. Madam Mr. Speaker, we are speaking of prime land, you know. $10 million. We have to fetch the price for the land that we have. Because the demand for land is increasing, and as the demand increases, the price will continue to rise. I want to, Madam Speaker, now who owns this land, Mr. Speaker? You know who owns it? The people who contribute, the workers of the country who contribute to the National Insurance Corporation, they are the ones who own those lands. Because those lands belong to NIC and by extension to the contributors. But yet still in the budget, this government will take those lands and sell them without having consultation with the people to tell the people what they are doing in their land. Madam, Mr. Speaker, this land was bought by NIC as a safety net. Mr. Speaker, right now, the fund is receiving more than it is paying out. There will come a time when the fund will be paying out more than it is receiving. And these are the assets you will have to fall back on to ensure liquidity so that people can get the NIC contributions at the right time. That is a retrogressive step. And you are telling me you are going to sell the land to build an oil refinery? That is only a dream. Mr. Speaker, I want the Prime Minister to tell the country, if the people to whom the land is sold do not build a refinery, whether you are going to take back the land for the people. So you make a deal with them. You build a refinery, keep your commitment, and don't bluff us. If you don't build a refinery, we take back our land for our contributors. That's the kind of policy we should have, Madam, Mr. Speaker. I don't know how they are ever the price, Mr. Speaker. How? Madam, Mr. Speaker, you have to remind me of my time left because I want to speak to my constituency. Madam, Mr. Speaker, the whole issue of cost overrun, I am tired of hearing it. Madam Speaker, a little boy in my area in Fort Bend used to pray, told me, Mr. Dalton, you'll have a minister of cost overrun. I said, no, he told me, yes, the Minister of Communication and Works is the Minister of Cost Overrun. Everything he says is cost overrun. Madam Speaker, everything that we do has cost implications. Everything that we do. And we, all of us here, Madam Speaker, I don't know if the members on the other side are not teachable, but we went to a workshop at their gardens and the issue was raised. And I remember the lady actually saying that cost overrun is inevitable. And I remember she making the reference example of a project in Canada that started with a cost of $200,000. And by the time it's completed, it's $200 million. When it ended, it cost almost 10 times the amount. I remember she was giving that example. So we respected the West Coast Road, the Southwest Coast Road, the road to Sufre. They had to be cost of a land, Madam Speaker. The road was built during the period when we experienced the highest rainfall. There are problems in a place called Tuvalu in Sufre. When the excavator started moving the land, shifting the soil, there was a serious problem. They had to acquire more land. They had to bench the slope all the way into somebody else's land. The person filed an injunction. And while that was going on, the government had to divert traffic from the Southwest Spring Road to Margaret Tooth. Before that was done, they had to grade the Margaret Tooth Road. All of these are extra costs. All of these are extra costs. Are you telling me that the area in River Dore, where the bridge is bad design? River Dore, look at the slope, look at the type of soil, look at the benching when you pass there, that has to be done. Look at the benching, that has to be done. Extra cost. Madam Speaker, there is a difference between something they call cost overrun, which the minister, my friend of communication, enjoys. He loves it. And there is something they call a variation in the contract. During the construction of the road, during excavation, a number of pipes were found. And these pipes needed to be replaced. You cannot build a new road, and the pipes that are there, they are all rusted, ready to break, and leave them. You had to remove them. So therefore, you give another contract to do the pipe and the utility lines and wires. You give another contract. So invariably, the cost of the project is going to increase tremendously. Madam Speaker, you see this whole issue of every day we come to this house, I'm hearing the integrity of some members of the previous government being impugned, making implications that there was cost overrun. And because it's cost overrun, there was corruption. Madam Speaker, we have to be honest with ourselves and say, Mr. Speaker, that there were variations in the contract, that any big project you build is, Madam Mr. Speaker, when we budget at home, we end up these days with more cost overrun. So a big project like this road, it will have serious costs. Excessive, it will have. And the whole nonsense, Mr. Speaker, of making the accusation, if you have evidence that any member of the previous administration was engaged in corruptive behavior in any government contract project, you take them to task and stop saying it. Stop saying it. Stop saying it. Take action. Last year's budget, it was said, and it's been said again this year, Mr. Speaker, impugning the character. Madam Mr. Speaker, if you look at the budget last year, the Honorable Minister responsible for supervising cost overruns in this country says it will be said, but it is prerogative. Mr. Speaker, wastage in this economy. Wastage. We're talking about cost overrun, my Mr. Speaker. Cost overrun. The biggest cost overrun that this government experienced was in the allocation for traveling. This government has boosted traveling allocation by $67,000. So if you're going to do an investigation, if you're going to appoint a commission to investigate how so much money was overspent in traveling. Know that. Also, investigate how much did the road from Union to Godzilla cost. Investigate that. Also, investigate how many ministers ever will get, has gotten Taiwanese money. Investigate that. So if you are investigating, investigate everything. A broad-based economy commission that will take care of everything. Let us investigate. Today, investigate, you can investigate, and investigate Kano, and investigate Tutmund. Madam Speaker, let me speak to my dear constituency of Souffre, Fontaine-Jacques. Madam Speaker, I see an allocation of $10 million in the budget for the relocation of the people of Barron's Drive. Now, to the best of my knowledge, everybody say Munaye. Everybody press consultation at a sermon now. I hope, but then the Minister of Housing, unfortunately, is not there today. I hope he will be able to give some explanation and tell me the process that will be adopted. If the people will be located, Siokatiweyo, Kimanyo, Payaposheyo, Udiyusa. But I want to tell the government is that the people of Barron's Drive, these people have seen what it is to be relocated. The houses the Labour Party government gave them at Lenny Hill is the minimum standard that they should get. Babayo Anyeji Priba, Pate Se Kaila, Ki and Lenny Hill. If you cannot do that, take your career. Madam Speaker, there are about 60 to 70 lots at a place called Crestland in Souffre. And these are the lots. That parcel of land was acquired by the former administration to assist young people in acquiring their own parcel of land for home construction, and also to create some kind of housing project for some of the residents in the Palmist and also in the Barron's Drive area. It's 16 months now. Last year there was $1 million in the budget for that. There was some works were going on. I don't know what is the cause of what is going to the state. People are coming to me and they're asking me if they want land, if they want a parcel of land, if they want a lot, how can they get it? I am also understanding that in Souffre, there's a particular person collecting only the names of flabos of as persons who will be able to get land from the area. And so I'm under tremendous pressure. Why am I allowing it to happen? I know it may not be true, but I'm just going to mention that this speculation is rife on the ground. And Madam Speaker, Margaret Tooth, the Honourable Mr. Speaker, the Honourable Member for Mikun North spoke of the Margaret Tooth project. Madam, that there is no home or relocation for the people. Madam Speaker, for the elderly, you said in the budget debate that there is an allocation for a home for the elderly to house the people at Margaret Tooth. And then you also said that the Labour Party government bought the land. I am not too sure that is accurate, Madam Speaker. I believe the purchase contract was completed under this administration, and it was done recklessly. Because the Labour Party, the plan was whoever buys the land, before we can sign the document, you had to provide an alternative location for the people. And an area in Beaufort was earmarked for the relocation of the home for the elderly in Souffre. Madam Speaker, I'm also understanding that the government has received the money and that the building that is on the land housing the elderly people is now being rented by the government. I don't know if it is true. If it is not true, the Prime Minister will have a chance to tell me I am wrong. I don't know if it is true, but I know for a fact that there are negotiations between people, some persons from the social ministry, Ministry of Transformation, and the parish priest of Souffre for the possible acquisition of the Souffre Presbytery and the two girls' primary school as possible accommodation for the elderly. We don't treat our elderly people like that, if what I'm saying there is very true, Madam Speaker. I want to call on the Honourable Minister of Communication and Works. I have written you on several occasions, Minister, Honourable Minister. At once, I must admit, you did respond and you did do something on the road. But you see, what you did and what the Labour Party knows how to do is significantly different. When the Labour Party built roads, look at Rest House, Godaita Canal, Stick to Godaishime, Belshime. The minister sent a grader and just graded the road. The grader sent all the silt in the drains and it finished. The people are complaining. There are elderly people there. There are challenged people down there. The people are saying that you want, you have a petition. I have a petition also from the residents. The people cannot go to their homes. When they shop, they have the bus, the minibus will drop them miles from their homes. Now you will tell me, why didn't the Labour Party do something about it? And I'll tell you, yes, the Labour Party did something. The road coming from Baden, all the addresses, Belfort, Baden, Protection, all these roads were done by the Labour Party. The Labour Party could not do all the roads. So you want to shoot me in the middle of the road, say it by what's that fish in the area? Put shimmick in the area first. Diamonds on the other side of diamond, the road is done. Just a little bit, about 9 to 10 miles of road. So I implore the minister, and I know he will do it, because I remember once he told me that somehow last time Pastor Spirit sounds like my program is about. So you got some money from the Kuwaiti funds, please use those monies to repair the road. Mon Lakwa. Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, the residents of Mon Lakwa, they have been quarantined. Quarantined. Because to come to town, you have two access routes. One through Jalousie, one through the Pito area, Lafon, Fonjalib. The one from going to Fonjalib is in a horrible, horrible state. Jalousie does not want the residents of the small community to pass.
Honorable member, you have 15 more minutes within which to complete your presentation.
The time, I will finish before the 15 minutes. I said thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will not need the 15 minutes. And thanks for your generosity also. Jalousy, I had a meeting with some people at Jalousy, and I was informed that Jalousy is going to be closed down in June, end of June, for major rehabilitation. And I was told during that period of construction, the access road to town through Jalousy will be closed. But the developers are saying that they are prepared to upgrade the road from Mon Lakwa to the Delta Road. And they asked me to speak to the minister and write to the minister, asking the minister to support that initiative. I know the minister has supported it, will support it, and I want to thank the minister for that. Mr. Speaker, the thing about me, when I have to give lips, I give them lips, Mr. Speaker. But when I have to praise them, I'll praise him. So I want him to come down to Soufre. Let me take him to a place called Dewash. Dewash, the breadbasket of the west coast. At Dewash, Lakita called it Pleedashim, Pleeshu, Pleebaja, Pleeyam. But the road to the farms, deplorable. If we have to speak about food security, we want to ensure we have food to eat. And you heard the honorable member for Kashmir South, spoke about food security, ensuring we have food, and that America, their whole rye and wheat industry is contracting, and India is saying we are reserving our rice for our people. This area in Dewash has potential to provide food security for almost the entire country. So this road is important. It is important, Mr. Speaker. Important to the extent that our food security will be jeopardized if that road is not addressed. I met a friend of mine who just told me over the weekend that he just secured 26,000 tomato seedlings. That is the extent to which the farmers there operate. Not small farms, large farms. I know of another farmer who had 10,000 heads of cabbage. So it's an area where there is a lot of agricultural activity taking place. And under the program you have, Mr. Minister, I implore you and beg you to continue. Some people say you're not begging, but I told the people of my Osufre, if I have to beg for them, I will beg for them. But if you don't do what I ask you to do for them, when I meet you, it's going to be disaster. Madame Mr. Speaker, the Super Hospital. Last year, the Honourable Prime Minister, in a different capacity, looked at me, sitting here, and told me, Honourable Member for Sufra, you'll be happy, because we are going to take care of the Sufra Hospital. He told me there was an allocation of $800,000 for Sufra. I was happy. I was very happy. What has happened at the Sufra Hospital? Nothing. But what is the allocation for this year? From $800,000 to $500,000. When price of things are going up, the allocation has decreased. Are you now going to this? There are some playing fields in Sufra. The Minister of Social Transformation and Transport is not there. A playing field at Bouton. Bouton is a community that doesn't resonate well with this government, I know. But these people there, Bouton, I can tell you, Bouton is the most beautiful part of Sufra. And if anybody wants a beautiful, pristine area to go and live, you can go to Bouton. The Labour Party put the roads, the water, the electricity, so you can go and live there now. And so, the playing field, some of the best female cricketers came from Bouton. At one time, they had about 5 members of the St. Lucian team, which is female team, young people from Bouton. And I have 2 of them on the West Indies female cricket team coming from Bouton. So we need to upgrade the facilities for these people. Madam Speaker, Belfort are the area where the young men are very much attached to the cricket. But there is a large parcel of land which is just cleared. It needs upgrading. The Labour Party built the road going to the field. I expect this government to continue building the field for these people. And the Frontenac playing field, we need the Frontenac young men and young women are excited about sports. They play cricket in the league in Sufra. They play football in the league in Sufra. But an area for them to do their little practicing and so on, they do not have that. There's an area, and I'm hoping that something will be done in terms of clearing it and putting some light so that they can use it both day and night. A few bus shelters in Sufra, in some critical areas, I have discussed them with the chairperson of the Sufra Town Council, with whom I have a very good working relationship, and I want to commend her to continue working with me. She has given me that guarantee, and this is how we're supposed to work. You see how we're supposed to work? Flambeau labor working together. And we can see things happening. As compared to before. And that's a move in the right direction. There's a place called Lesa in Frontenac, Mr. Speaker. The water pipes coming from the catchment area in Mini is starting right in front of the people's house. They have pipeline capacity, but the people don't have water. And WACO is telling you, they have cast iron and they cannot drill holes in the cast iron to give them connection. So in the coming months, I'm hoping that with the assistance of the ministry, they will be able to tell WACO, in the light of present day technology, they will be able to get a pipe running in that community so that the people can get some water. The area also needs some footpaths. The Labour Party puts the light for them. I expect this government to continue. And that is what the Honourable Member for Castle was talking about. Continuity. That is how, sorry. Continuity. So we started something, build upon it. Let us continue. That's what we're talking about. Mr. Speaker, I am passionate about this one. In a little pristine, beautiful place called Fonjali. A small community. There is one flambeau honcho who says the Gros Piton belongs to him. He has even removed the constituency bond before Sufra. That's true. The gentleman is operating business on the Gros Piton. All the monies come to him. He pays a few guys what he wants, when he wants. Collects NIC and does not give it to the department. And he is in the community doing what he wants. I received a letter, and I hope the Minister of Forest, the Chief Forestry Officer received a letter also, asking for the intervention. I had a meeting with the Deputy Chief Forestry Officer to look into the matter. Mr. Honorable Prime Minister, if I have to come to your desk, I will have to come to your desk. Although, Honorable Prime Minister, you seem to be very inaccessible, and I'm certainly sure when I call you now, you will make the time because you know my passion for the issues that I am now speaking to. Sound improvement. The Prince of Wales came to Souffle. And overnight, in the wee hours of the morning, all kinds of heavy equipment in Souffle, keeping noise, preventing people from sleeping. I thought I would be happy. I made noise, I said. I told the planners, if they did not repair the roads, I would call my people and demonstrate on the day. But I was fooled. They brought all the equipment. I was too fierce. They brought all the equipment. They did a little portion only where the prince is going to walk, and they left the rest. How can you treat Souffle like that? The mecca of tourism. Sulphur City. How can you do that? All the main streets in Souffle should be paved and paved properly. They should be paved. Souffle needs a new facelift. More than 50% of visitors to this country go for Souffle. The town needs a facelift. And I depend on the relevant ministries to assist Souffle and give. Who knows what is going to happen if you do it? Who knows? And I cross the floor and commit suicide afterwards. Do the help me to help the people of Souffle. The Honorable Minister for Sport is not there, but I had some serious problems with him initially for the construction of the grandstand. You don't want me to say, but I'll say this was a Labour Party project. Immediately after the government came into office, they stopped the project. I made some noise in the media, and the Honorable Member started the project. And it's a beautiful project, a beautiful grandstand. The young men and young women in Souffle are looking forward to its completion. It's almost completed, and I am going to be very happy when it is completed. Thanks to the St. Lucia Labour Party for conceptualizing it and initiating the project, and thanks to the minister for completing it. That is what we want, to build on what we start. Mr. Speaker, you know a lot has been said about Hurricane Dean. You know, after Hurricane Dean, the farmers in Pointe-Jacques suffered tremendously. And the Ministry of Agriculture sent some people to assess damage. And you know, it's only Flambeau supporters got support. Only them, Madam Mr. Speaker. We are saying, let us change that culture. Let us change that. Let us change it. I am not fabricating these stories. The evidence is there. And as a parliamentary rep, and we all are, and you face people coming to you, you have access to the resources. We don't have. We don't have. What do we say to our people when they come to us and ask for simple things? What do we say to them? And so, Madam Mr. Speaker, as I wind down, I want to tell my people of Souffle that they can count on me. I will be there with them. I will try my best. I told them in the campaign, if I have to beg, I will beg. And they know my position on some issues. I am asking, I'm not begging, but I am asking that the monies appropriated in this budget be distributed and all communities get a fair share. I am also calling on the members of the government to respect parliamentarians. And I have a problem with the Minister of Education. I called the Minister's Secretary to have an appointment to discuss an issue at the school in Pointe-Jacques. The school is finished, a new school built by the former administration. Up to now, the school has not been officially opened. From January last year, up to this day. I called the Minister because there were some problems. And over the appointment of a security, you tell them you're appointing one security to work at Pointe-Jacques from somebody who has a job at Windjammer in Castries. He leaves the job, takes the transport, goes to Souffle, and works at Pointe-Jacques. Even though it's a club, won't give all club also reputation. I couldn't care less. For as long as the job went to somebody from Sponsor Shack. So I made, so I had a problem with that. And you know what is what, Mr. Speaker? I met the chief security person at Sponsor Shack. And he is telling the teachers the recommendation was made by the parliamentary rep. In other words, I recommended the person. And you know who he was referring to? Senator Gaspar Shalmay. I don't know when Senator Gaspar Shalmay became the parliamentary rep for Sufra. Somebody from the ministry telling teachers in an indirect way that the senator is the one who recommended the person and that the minister, the senator, is the parliamentary rep. What more humiliation can you get as a parliamentary rep? I do not explode that way. But Mr. Minister, back to you. Mr. Speaker, I called his office. He had an appointment from the Monday to the Friday. We're meeting at 2 o'clock. I left 2:12. At 10 o'clock, went to the East Coast. When I reached in the library, I received a call. The secretary is telling me the minister says he's not going to be there. He's not going to be there. And I've left Sufra specifically to see the minister at 2 o'clock. He's not going to be there because he has a funeral to attend. You see, you would have known that call me the day before. And this is the kind of, you have to give us respect, and we're all saying it. All of us have received it. Respect us. Because the people put us there. The people put you all there. We are. I don't have a problem with you, You are not the government. If you are making a mess of the economy, I'll say it. But we respect you all as the government. So respect us. That's all I'm saying. Honorable Prime Minister, I know this budget is not entirely...
You should be completing yet.
I'm finishing right here. I know this budget is not entirely, did not come from the end of your pen. I want to wish the government all the best, unlikely to ever come from this side, but I'm saying it. I'm being very generous because I want the reciprocity. I want to wish this government all the best and to begin to address the critical social issues, especially the young people and the poor people of this community. Thank you very much.